Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, 1st of December, Christmas is only 3 weeks away. Bearing down on us fairly quickly. Live in the studio, we got a few boys with Mo's and they're about to lose them. Part of the Movember crew from the Institute of Urban, Indigenous Health, IUIH. Put together a team and they've raised some bit over 25 grand. Not bad, eh? Not bad. So let me introduce these guys. We've got Steve Renoff. Welcome to the studio, brother. How are you?
Toya, thanks for having me, mate.
Good to have you in. Tell us your mob, your country.
Goongri. Well, the Goongri mob out at around Mitchell, and that's where my nan was from, out there on my mum's side. So, yeah, so we're out there and trying to head out there these holidays, take the kids out there, go out there on country, at the Yumba.
Get out on home country, eh?
Yeah.
It's good to spend some time on home country. And young Nathan Appo, how are you, bud?
Tiger, good, thanks.
Yeah? Tell us your mob, your country.
Yeah, I'm originally from Innisfail, far north Queensland, proud Mamu man, and I got family from down the Tweed, Bunjilung, and Goreng Goreng as well. So very lucky to know where my people from, and I'm happy to be here today.
Got most of the East Coast covered, haven't you?
Yeah.
Good on you, as we do have. I mean, when we go back on both sides of our parents, if they're both First Nations, and they go back to their parents, and you got, right, gee, you can lay claim to half the country.
Yes.
Right. Somehow we're related, eh, Chop?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good. Now, Nathan, tell us about this this Movember campaign. Its focus is men's well-being or men's mental health. What is the focus? What's your message from your IUIH team?
Yeah, sure. So we, the Deadly Choices team, you know, put a Movember campaign together, and you know, we feel there's so much there's a lot of mental health issues in the community when we talk about depression and mental illness, but you know, our message for Movember was there's no shame in talking about our issues. You know, as Indigenous men, you know, we're very, very guarded and we keep a lot of our problems and issues to ourselves. But you know, I think this was a perfect opportunity to raise that awareness and talk about it, and you know, grow a mo, but also raise some awareness, but also raise some money for an important campaign and cause.
How many did you end up with in your team?
I think we ended up with 124 members in our team. So we got a good gathering, you know, got together once we started it. And, you know, we had some really good ambassadors, you know, Sammy Thaida and Preston Campbell and Tamana Tahu and Hoops, Super
yep.
Hooper,
yep.
Damien Hooper. So, you know, it was really good. And I think that sort of started it. We started with a bit of a bang and people jumped on board. And that's what it was all about. And, you know, and Nathan talked about that, about you know, obviously with Indigenous men, you know, we're proud people. But, you know, I think then when there's a little bit of a chink in our armour, we sort of go back into our shell. And so we're just trying to encourage them to come forward and, you know, let's chat about it.
Yeah. Because suppressing those feelings and the conditions that some of us have is, it all adds to the problem. It doesn't add to the healing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at all, does it? It's part of the
And that's
problem.
Right, you know, and then those things can grow and, you know, then something else happens and that's what we're, you know, you really need to try and avoid. And, you know, we've all been in that space, you know, in different varied levels in our lives and, you know, so it's just about, there's help out there. I think that's another big thing too. There is help out there, especially with what the Institute of Indigenous Health are doing across southeast Queensland. There's a lot of help out there for our people.
There certainly is, yeah. So, Nathan, you normally don't have a moustache.
No, I don't. I usually have a little bit of a beard here. Yeah, I usually have a bit of a beard. And but, you know, I did Movember 2 years ago and thought we'd come on board and do this again. And the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health are running a 3-year campaign with Movember. We're not giving too many details out at the moment, so we're going to have a launch soon around it. And we're actually the first communion-controlled organisation to actually be have a campaign with Movember, which is pretty exciting. And, yeah, we're looking forward to the next 3 years for Movember.
Does that mean to say you've got to start growing a mow again for 3 years?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, next 3 years we're going to have a mow. So, but, you know, we're all raising money and it's a good cause. And actually, it's good to get my dad on board. You know, he set a little bit of a challenge with me. He said if I make $2,000, he'll shave his 40-year-old mow off.
Really?
So he's never shaved for about 40 years.
40 years.
So he's in the studio today and he's going to shave off. He's not happy about it.
No.
He's had a sad face all weekend and today. Well, so, but
at least he can grow it back, eh?
That's right, he can grow it back. He'll be right.
Still looks healthy, like he's got plenty of hair on him.
Yeah.
He grows back, unlike myself, So was it difficult to find people, men, were they people that were well-known, high-profile people, or were it just people in community that you approached
we used our ambassadors first, like Preston and Steve and Sammy, and I think it sort of just rolled on from there. But I think it's important to acknowledge, you know, not just our Indigenous men who signed up. We had non-Indigenous men, non-Indigenous women signing up, supporting the cause, raising money, and that just shows the support that the Movember and Deadly Choices, the Institute campaign had. So I think it was good, and we should acknowledge them people as well.
Of course.
I think it was really good, but it just had that roll-on effect that, through our social media, word of mouth, that people could also raise $50 and receive one of these Deadly Choices Movember shirts, and they were a bit of a hit. You know, even though they just raised $50, some of them, it still went to a good cause, and, they were happy to be a part of the Movember campaign.
Good one, good one. So they raised $50 by way of what? Somebody getting a sponsor or
just
something?
Just a donation, yeah. So, they joined up with the team, and then obviously then they go out and get donations either from family members or just from the public who thought they'd give to a good cause. And I think we virtually all did the same. And, I was amazed when I heard, I think our target was 20,000. We ended up with 25.
Yep.
It's just amazing what we've done in that space in a short period of time.
And then where does that 25 go to? What group? Who? Do you nominate who?
That goes back to the Movember campaign and also goes to Indigenous men's mental health, to raise awareness, but also to research and stuff like that. So that's what we were trying to do. But our focus was, Indigenous men's mental health. You know, we saw a very strong need around that, and that was our campaign. So, yeah, so we're looking forward to the next 3 years and hopefully we can raise a lot more money in the years to come.
And we got Mr. Derek Chong has just joined us as well. Dr. Derek Chong, that is. Dr. Derek, how are you? Pull that microphone over there.
I'm pretty good.
He's looking fit as a fiddle, this fella too. You better sign him up and get him running around the paddock, eh?
Steve, yeah,
what do you reckon? Get him out
there. Get him in the second row.
Pull that thing across there for you so it's in front of you there. Yeah. Yes. So how are you, Derek?
Oh, not too bad, thank you.
What's going on here? I didn't hear you. Tell me again.
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. Tell us your mob, your country.
Mullanjali, mum side, and Walkerman, dad side, Mariba, Tate Ridge, Tate area, Spread all over Queensland, pretty much. Relatives from the desert area all the way right up to the Gulf.
Yeah, I was just saying to Nathan here, he's got the East Coast pretty well covered.
Yeah, I know.
His affiliation in the country and stuff, it's great, all right, yeah. And I see you got a hairy top lip too, so you're part of the Movember team.
Yeah, you notice the Batman?
Oh, that's what it is, Batman. Oh, gee, you're looking cool, Doctor.
Bit of artwork. <aren't we?
laughs> I was going to bring the mask in, but I think I would have got arrested if I did.
Yeah, you got to be careful with masks. I mean, these coppers are shooting people dead these days out there. You got to be careful.
Well, that kind of matches in mental health, what we're just talking about, isn't it?
Mental health of the police with having to shoot or the mental
Well, unfortunately...
No, it's a sad...
It is.
Point. It's sad, but to see that there's something like three men shot dead by police in a matter of about the same sort of, in a couple of weeks, I mean, it's pretty serious stuff going on at the moment. So I shouldn't joke about it because it's too bloody serious a situation. You don't know the state of mind of people that are allegedly armed, yeah, no, it's a serious, like you say, it could be a sign of just the general health or the mental health, the health and well-being and mental capacity or wellness, I suppose, of people.
Yeah, very much. And that's, I mean, I've faced those situations before as a health professional, been face-to-face with someone who was armed and even someone, you know, who was quite aggressive. And it looks like there's no way out to talk them out, but, you know, you need the skills to do that. And police are trained, but I guess they don't really have the training to actually handle the situation. Plus, they have the added stress of trying to contain the situation, whereas, you know, I've had that situation in a contained environment in a hospital setting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for you, you don't normally have a moustache?
Oh, this is driving me crazy.
Yeah. That was my next question. Yeah. I mean, any problem with growing a moustache? A bit of itch?
It's the itchiness.
What about the missus and the family? Oh, what do they think of it?
You know? I sleep in another
Come
bedroom
on, 1st of December. Another bedroom.
I think you forget it, and then you run into someone you haven't seen for a while, and they look at you and go, what are you looking at? I'm going on your top lip. It's like, oh, that's right, I've got a mole on there. Got some hair on there.
So you too, Bucko, not normally a moustache?
No, I'm not, mate. To be honest, and I'm happy, as we're going to do a bit later, to do the shave off. But, you know, some people try to be kind to me and say it looks good, and I go, no, it doesn't.
No, and so talking about the shave off, that's just you're doing it yourself. As you got some celebrities around with the razors and stuff. They're using safety razors, not the old cutthroats. Remember, my dad, my grandfather used to use the old cutthroat.
Well, I hope there's not a cutthroat. No, I'll be doing it myself.
I had to use the cutthroat to get the Batman, so that's pretty dangerous stuff.
Touch her up, all right. So with the shave off, what's planned?
Anything? Well, Nathan, you've got your dad here.
Yeah, got the off Olleria. He's... he's here to shave it off. He's not happy, like I said before. But, yeah, we're just all going to come in here. We've got a few coming in from work, and a few of our other ambassadors couldn't make it today because of work commitments and stuff. But that's understandable. But, you know, some of us are here to shave off, and I think we're pretty happy about it too.
Yes,
definitely.
All right. Well, Derek, tell us a little about mental health. I just raised it before we played a song, just before you came in. With Steve, that for First Nations people, identity and different other pressures as a result of colonisation, I think, creates that big spike in mental well-being, mental health and our well-being. Is that a fair comment?
Very much so. I mean, I give a presentation and I usually liken it to each and every one of us has like a cup of stress. And that cup of stress is when the stress is in the cup. At a low level, we can handle the stress. Mm. But when it starts building up and starts overflowing, that's when we start dealing with situations the way that we wouldn't usually deal with, you know, getting upset at the kids or, you know, road rage, as we've seen on the news a lot. You know, people get upset at little things. And it shows that the cup of stress is quite full. And I think mainly with First Peoples mental health. We know about the colonisation effects. We know of the trauma. And sometimes that sits in that cup, but it's left there. And it doesn't mean it needs to be touched when we think it needs to be opened and talked about. But it's all the other little stresses that are in that cup that build up and build up. And one of the subtle things for our people is the things that aren't detectable, but we can feel it. It might be sitting on the bus and no one sits next to you. I sit on a train. No one will sit next to me unless, they still don't sit next to me. Big, black and ugly, I guess. I don't know. But you think about, okay, well, maybe, you know, I'm too big and I'm taking up the seats. Or you start thinking, is it because of the colour of my skin? And those things are the ones that affect us the most because we have no definitive answers. I remember a clinician saying to me, the thing that I hate the most is when people say, you treat me like this because I'm black. And I said, well, look at it as a question. They're asking you a question. Are you treating me like this because I'm black? And he says, no, I tell them I treat everyone like shit. And I said, oh, can I say that?
You're
sorry.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, that's good, even though, you know, it's probably not the best response, but people know that you're treating everyone the same way.
As long as they're consistent.
That's right, consistent, you know. And we can accept that. But when it's the subtleties of not knowing, that adds a stress into our day because we're rehearsing, what have I done? Is there something I could have done and improved the situation? Because we want to get on with people. We're harmonious people.
Exactly.
As Steve was saying before, you know, we want to get on with people. Just looking at the Movember, it's non-Indigenous women, non-Indigenous men want to contribute. And I was just saying, you know, I was thinking about what you guys were saying is that growing the beard, it's been a hard thing for me. I've tried to do the Movember thing before, but after that first 2 weeks, I can't do it. But when we got as a team, I could do it. Right. Steve, because not only the ambassador, but all the other fellas in the office that are growing it. Mm. And they can do it, I can do it. And okay. that's the message you want to send home, is that for mental health, we all bandy together. We're all going through these stresses and we need to talk to each other. We know that some other brother's going through the same thing. We can have a chat with him and then send him to a counsellor if he needs professional help. Mm. That's the great thing about this Movember that we've got behind in such a big way.
That's a good point you make. Oh. As a team or as part of a team, as part of a group, other people are doing and being challenged by the same issues you are with just growing a moustache.
Yep.
But being a part of that group has got you through it.
Very much.
When did you start? When did you sign up for it?
Well, I was coming back from Alice Springs, so my missus said I wasn't allowed to start growing the beard until I actually got home clean shaven. So I started 1 week after everyone else. So I grow pretty quickly. So it still drove me nuts.
Yes, I reckon. All right, Steve, you got to make a run soon.
Yeah, make a run. Head back into the city.
Yeah. So when are you going to be shaven?
Well, hopefully soon and see how we go. Get out there and get it done,
All right, get it.
So, you know, I just, from what Dr. Derek said, you know, it is a big thing and people got to realise, you know, we talk about our people and our men. And as I said earlier, you know, we're a proud bunch of people and you do have to go back to realise why things the situation is like they are today. And there's no other way you would not understand that otherwise. And, you know, they talk about stereotyping. Well, that was forced stereotyping, you know what I mean? It wasn't something we chose. Mm. So until people realise that, where it all started and to where we are today, if they're not addressed, they'll just keep happening.
Yeah, where it all started. You've got to go beyond just you. Mm. There's parents, there's grandparents, yes. there's transgenerational trauma that can lend itself to the situation of our well-being and stuff like that. I've got somebody on the line that might want to make a comment. Let's see who we got. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got?
Oh, g'day. I'm chasing Jamie. Is he around?
No, sorry. He's gone. Sorry,
oh, okay.
Wrong number. And yes, so that's some. Yeah, fair enough. You made the point of the transgenerational trauma. Well, the question I want to ask is, there's a Western approach to treatment, fixing things up. Steve, earlier you said, look like I'll take the kids back onto home country over Christmas. That's a blackfella way of dealing with some issues. That can deal with some of our issues. Settlers, help us sort things out in our own minds and things like that. So, and the white fellow way, generally, Dr. Derek, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's medication, there's drugs, there's chemicals and things like that. I suppose, is there conflicting ways of dealing with things? I mean, being a black fellow, do they, in the system, the Western medicine system recognise identity issues that can manifest itself into problems that we have with our own general well-being and mental health.
Oh, definitely.
And stuff like that. And how would they deal with that? What do they say?
Okay, well, a lot of them go, well, that's a lot of the basis of mental health is your own attachment to your own identity of who you are. And that comes in certain stages of your life. But I think the Western model, the way they deal with things is because of the mass of the people. So they compartmentalize things. Whereas Indigenous people, we don't compartmentalise. We know everything's connected. And fair to say, non-Indigenous people did have that philosophy, but because of mass, there's a numbers game. You go to the emergency department and they'll only look for a certain criteria because that's the only one they can deal with at that particular time. And it's usually just a credence of how much under pressure that the health system is, and particularly mental health system. The services aren't needed there, aren't being put there. I think it needs to be looked on an economic perspective that the human resource in this country is the most vital, most important part. And when we neglect our mental health is when we neglect our prosperity and our economic viability. And that's for Indigenous people. We are a treasure trove of knowledge, of skills, of physical talent. If the government actually put the money where it is fostered and needed in early prevention programs, well, then we're going to see an outcome. We have so much to offer. I've seen people in the hospital system ask for Indigenous health workers because they'll sit them, they'll talk to them, they'll show respect, especially to the elderly. We still have that connection of extended family, whereas mainstream have lost that connection. There's some pockets of it, but they've lost that connection for the elderly. We would never sell, a house from an elderly. We would bring in our elderly and look after them. And I think that's what the community needs us to bring back, those family-centred values.
I often wonder, I was just talking to one of my 9 daughters last night about, just imagine, just think where we might be as a people if we were treated properly right from the start. And right from the start is less than 10 generations ago. You know, our people have been here for thousands of generations. But for the last 10 generations, if our mob were treated properly as human beings with respect and dignity, can you imagine where we might be today?
Definitely. I mean, you look at culture.
I mean, the mind boggles.
I mean, you look at culture. Culture changes normally. If they allowed that culture for us to accept the culture and look what we could take the good from one culture and keep the good from our own culture, you would not have the distress that you are facing with today. I mean, you have a look at, I worked with a Scottish lady who left Scotland 40 years ago, worked in Australia. She was the epitome of Scottish culture 40 years ago. Scottish people couldn't understand today what she was saying because you're still living the culture back then. And unfortunately, that's a representative of some of our cultures. But we're fostering it. There's a renewal of our culture. There's such a pride of being Indigenous, and I love it.
Mm, for sure. Yeah. Wouldn't want to be white for quids, would you? Or any other culture, not just white.
Well, I mean, embracing any other culture. We're helping non-Indigenous people to embrace a culture.
And no disrespect to white people. I mean, there's a lot of good white fellas out there that are working with us and stuff. Yeah. But still, even though we've got good fellas with us, you wouldn't want to be a part of the dominant culture or identify with that. Or I wouldn't anyway. I don't know about you fellas. But
no, I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of my skin colour and... So I don't have a problem with my identity. I'm really comfortable with it. The good thing is, and I think about us as people too, like, you know, go along the street, you could be down in Sydney, but you are another Murray fella or someone, and you know what I mean? And it's something very unique about that, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But non-Indigenous people want a culture. They envy us for a culture. How many times have I heard that is unbelievable? They say, I really respect. I wish I had a culture like yours.
Well, it's important for us to bring their mob along with us.
That's right.
We've got to bring them with
us.
Very much so. And it doesn't. It's not a colour thing anymore.
No,
it's about human beings. Mm. It's about respect, and just wanting to know who you are, where you're from, or be part of a mob. And
that's right.
We've been adopting and bringing in their mob into our community and being part
thousands
of family
of
and stuff
of years.
For a long, long time. That's long right. time. We got a caller on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got? Where you gone? Go on then. He gone. Took too long. I took too long to answer the phone for him. No. Look, here we got someone come back. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got?
Denise Tiger, listening to you.
Did they have it in the first place or lose it?
Well, it's going to help it.
Yes, no, there's a lot of pressure on us and we do have to... Well, we live with the problem. We know what the answers are. Listen, thanks for your call, eh, Denise?
Thanks.
You have a good one.
Thanks, Tiger. Doing a good job. Thanks, mate.
Bye now. That's interesting, empathy. Now, I was talking with a couple of my elders in the family only a week or so ago, and they said empathy is something that is developed at a very early age. It's there in all human beings. But in the dominant culture, it's not always nurtured or allowed to grow. So they come through as adults and into the mature stages of life, and there isn't any empathy there. What do you know about that side of things, empathy, Dr. Chong?
For you to have a professional, healthy relationship with your patient, you need a healthy empathy. I think the main thing that where empathy does go set aside is when people's fears and anxieties take over. Some people think our culture is so complex. Some people think that our mental health is so complex that they really don't know where to start. And there's this fear factor for males, for a start. They're violent, they're rapists. There's this myth that goes around. They won't even purport to it, but these are the myths that are generated when it comes up to anything that, of course, it's an Indigenous person that's done, the Indigenous male. And so an Indigenous male is kind of looked on in society as mistrustful. Okay, so, I mean, we feel that. I still get little old ladies who hold onto their purse when I jump into a lift with them.
You go into the supermarket, and them in the store start following you around and stuff, you know.
That's right. And you feel that impact upon you. But it's that fear factor that pushed people away to actually empathise with us. And what's people got to recognise, they've got to listen to our stories. Stop listening to the rhetoric, the media, or what you've read in a book, but listen to what we're telling you. And I think that's the best thing about this Movember is our deadly choices. People are starting to come and tell us their stories. People are coming to the Aboriginal Medical Service and telling their stories. Yeah. And that's what's important.
Yeah, I reckon. Do you hear that call? Aisle 4, there's a big black man with the with the Batman Mo. Aisle 4, security, aisle 4. Anyway,
they have code these days.
Got a caller on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got?
Ty, this is Auntie Lil here.
Good morning, Auntie Lil. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. I'll try to be as quick as I can. I thought I'd just share that with you. One other thing I wanted done. That's the only other thing.
Good point you raise, Aunt. Yeah.
Yes, so thank you for listening to me, and I'm really enjoying the show, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Aunt. You have a good day. That's an interesting point, a couple of interesting points. So there's a trigger in at an early stage in life, but before you go talking about triggers, you've got a trigger there that says you've got to go.
I've got a trigger sitting over in the corner there.
Young daughter got to be taken off to an appointment, so... Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks, mate. Thanks for your time.
And it's good to have you all in, and good to see you being able to grow that hairy top lip. All for a good cause.
All for a good cause, and great. That's why you do things. So.
No, very good. Well, thanks for coming in, Steve.
No worries.
Steve Renoff, in with us this morning, along with young Nathan Appo and Dr. Derek Chong. Bye for now then, Steve, and we'll be touching base again, I'm sure.
Thank you.
All right. All right, bud. Dr. Derek, that was an interesting point there from Arnie Lill talking about that triggering at an early age, and if it's not triggered, empathy isn't triggered, you don't come. You've got to sort of try and trigger it later in life.
That's right.
So, yeah. All right. What were we going to talk about, Nathan? Was there something else that you had to talk about?
I think we touched on... you know, everything about the campaign and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, on a personal note, I think Movember has been a good time for myself to reflect, you know, about, you know, men's Indigenous health and depression. You know, I've had a lot of friends pass away, close family friends pass away, you know, from depression and not being able to deal with, you know, loss. And it may be small loss, but it's been building up over a certain amount of time. And it may be something that pushes them over the edge. And it's very sad, you know, this shouldn't happen, you know. Small breakups, you know, with misses and girlfriends and partners and you know, loss. And then that may just trigger that, you know, a bad situation for himself. And, you know, and not just himself, you know, feels the effects, family feels effects, the community. And I guess, you know, Movember and this time, this month is helped me reflect and think about, you know, friends and family that have passed away from this terrible disease, and it's given me an opportunity to talk to, you know, friends and family about, you know, letting them know that I'm here for them, you know. But also, I guess it's an opportunity for people who aren't battling depression to talk to their friends and family.
Yes,
and
I guess that's,
yeah,
and, around.
Yeah, that's right. Around. And to talk about it, and, you know, it's not shame. And like the guy said, you know, Bucko said before that, the whole campaign was it's not shame to talk about it, and we shouldn't be as Indigenous men. You know, back in the day, I'm sure we would have been doing this, you know, with our men's groups and, you know, going right way on hunting trips. We would have been talking about our issues.
That's one of the things that would be different, Derek, if we had been treated appropriately, our old people had been treated appropriately from 10 generations back when the invasion first began, is the role of First Nations males within the community, within the broader society. I mean, there's been a big impact on the role of our men. And that would be one of the things that would be changed. If our old people had been treated appropriately and with respect from day one of the invasion, we wouldn't be seeing this sort of stuff, surely.
Well, Australia's economic viability for a start would be totally different. I mean, if they'd listened to the older men, they would have got so much out of medicines and healing properties and traditional methods. That's right. And looking, I mean, they're starting to look at it now. It's a bit late, but, you know, how to sustain an environment for thousands of years. And I just, you made me reflect about some of the old men in my life, and you probably have examples of grandfathers and uncles. You know, they looked at the Western philosophy. I'm not just talking about what I'm talking about, the Western culture that we live in. And they said that there's no, they felt sorry for that type of philosophy because they, you know, always would say, boy, they don't get it.
Mm.
You know, your family is the most important thing. You know, your respecting of yourself, your community, your culture and your land. You know, we're so inextricably linked.
That's right.
You know, and they've missed that. What are we going to go to a so developed society that we don't have any shrubbery or plants anymore? Is that what we're looking for?
Mm.
Because we're going to miss out on so much. That wisdom. And like you said, that viability, if they listened to us in the first place, you know, and things were a bit different, you know, it would be a lot different for not only, we wouldn't be facing the problems, not just, right. Not just Indigenous people, but also mainstream.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, there'd be a lot of benefits, a lot of positive aspects of life if things had been, done differently. Got another caller on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who do we have?
Good morning, Tiger. It's Poet Dave. How are you going?
Poet Dave, I'm well. How are you?
Fine. I just wanted to come back using First Nations
medicine.
White medicine, medicine. Go and do that. Everyone should start listening to what. Because I think it's a great thing.
All right, man. Now that's great to know that you're getting a result from a little bit of advice from one of our mob. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all improve their skin.
Yes. That's a good one.
That's the problem too. And just another quick short thing is.
We can certainly be a more there could be a more harmonious coexistence.
Sure,
no question about it.
And it's all the little things that make a big thing.
All right, Dave, thanks for your call, man.
Thank you so much.
You have a good one. Bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, certainly a good point there where he's saying digs his feet into the soil. A friend of mine gets a bit stressed. She'll go out into the garden and she'll start digging those hands in and feeling the difference. And she said, it makes a world of difference. Makes a world of difference. You feel the stress leave and you're just lost in your gardening and your planting and your weeding and all this sort of stuff, you know. And,
that is deadly. Dave is my hero. It's like his honesty in bringing up those points. And actually, you know, he did hit the nail on the head, you know. We might be going through so many hardships and that cup, like I said, that cup of stress is filling up, but sometimes going back and just putting your feet into the sand, gardening and getting dirty helps relieve that stress. But how much more is it so for a man that's eked out his living or a man that has generations of family that have lived on the land? Now, when my grandmother took us back to our traditional land up in the Tate region, and she said, look, this is where I was born. And we were thinking, oh, yeah, around here. She said, no, this is where I was born. And she was telling us all her siblings exactly the spot where they're born. And I tell you what, there's a sense of pride. There's a sense of connection with that land.
For sure.
Now, the other point that I just wanted to make, I mean, Indigenous people, we don't drink, we don't desecrate our land. They're looking at ways, and the government's looking at ways of stopping our drinking and our harmful rates.
After they introduced it all to
us. You allow us to live on our land with the amenities that should be provided, like every other Australian, and you'll see a difference.
Of course.
Don't tell me about locking us up.
Of course.
Don't tell us about, so we might drink in the city, but so does everyone else going to the party to drink on a Friday night, do they not? But allow us to go on our own land and have the resources, access to them that we need.
Yeah. Rather than be moving people off community like in WA and bulldozing houses
just
and stuff
because of
like
mining.
That's
the whole, it's a land grab again.
Yeah, it's a land grab, yeah.
Forgetting about our mental health and our connection with that land for thousands and thousands of years.
Oh, that's a good point you make, brother. Any final points or comments, Nathan?
No, it's just...
Want more people on board next year? I mean,
yeah,
when does it start?
Yeah.
Does it start for them in the month of November, does it?
Yep. Yeah. It always starts
November 1, right.
Yeah, 2 weeks before, you know, we want to try to get everyone to sign up,
okay,
you know.
Yes. So they can start growing then, or they must
start growing then if it's a bit slow. But signing up and you know, getting the message out there that they're doing Movember so they can, you know, start raising some money, but awareness. But, you know, it shouldn't just take Movember and the month of November for us to talk to each other about mental health. Yeah. Mm. You know, we should be doing it.
Every day.
You know, every chance we get to talk to one of our mob, you know, to see how they are, you know, see how their stress is and you know, we can practice this, you know, every day. Hmm. And
I think there's a message there's something, the campaign that we run on air or is run on mainstream, I'm not sure, but it's about just making a phone call or saying to somebody, are you okay?
Yep.
I'm not sure whether it's ours or where it is,
yeah,
but
there's
a message.
I think there's a campaign.
There is a campaign.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you okay? And that works well. And you know, it may be simple as when we ask each other, which way, you know, how are you today? And you know, and it's just asking how our brother man is, and you know, and then they feel that they've got some support and they can open up. And I think that's a good start. And I think the Daily Choices team, we've done a good first year this year, and I think we're looking forward to you know, raising some more awareness and money in the next few years. So really looking forward to it, and it's you know, just got to say thank you to all the participants and support we've got for throughout the month of November.
Oh, congratulations! I mean, you've done well, amazingly well. Where are you sitting? Number 16th across the country, or something?
As far as
money 16th, raised,
I think we're 13th.
That's a pretty big achievement.
Derek? We started off really well. We're up to number 4 at first. And I guess just at the end, we're going to polish up our finish.
right. Finish a bit stronger, eh?
Yep.
Anything you want to add, Derek, in winding up?
It's like Nathan says, Movember is a way to get awareness, but there are programs out there that run 24/7, 12 months of the year, and we can show you in the right direction.
Fair enough. Dr. Derek Chong and young Nathan Appa, thanks for joining us, guys, and the effort that you have made tolerating a hairy top lip that you're not used to, and the family, the missus particularly, you know, having to move into another bedroom, Derek, wouldn't be pleasant. But after the day, mate, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But anyway, no, look, thanks a lot, guys. That's great. And I think there's the message that you say, look, let's make every day that day where you're asking, your mob asking people, asking other men, are you okay? And keep a check on people.
And reinforcing it that you're deadly.
That's it. That's right. What's that shirt? I only see deadly people.
That's right.
One of them T-shirt slogans getting around. It's really good. All right, guys. Only see deadly people.
Deadly.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Doug.
Keep up the great work. We'll go into a couple of short messages. Yeah, Second Chance by Sharon. Oh, gee, name slips me mind. I've lost it already. Terrible. It's time for me to go. Join me tomorrow for Let's Talk on your local First Nation station.